Thank you. Thanks, Don.
Jerry.
I almost lost my place too, but I finally found it again. We're on page 57. Well, you're a real optimist. Hey,
it's in the time.
Oh. There you
We had everybody last, it was Mother's Day last Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's here.
Hello.
Hey.
Let me tell you, we met one another at a doctor's office.
Heard that.
Yeah. I really like him.
Oh, I love him.
And he does work on you, you know? It's not like he just gives you a pill or pats you on the back. He does, you know, there's some actual adjustments and explains what he's doing.
Yeah, the first time I saw him, one of the things I says, you know, I always felt like I had like a low grade depression, but I just, you know, did my life. And I swear after that, I didn't have that anymore. I didn't have that sense anymore. It was pretty weird. It a doctor I come to.
So we happen to meet at the same doctor's office. Let's see how we're doing here. Well, I think everybody's.
I've seen them here in a long time, or if ever. I don't think they've been to this location.
Who's that?
At the Hassles.
I never know how it's going to show up.
I've been seeing them here since.
Anyway.
Not here. I mean, even in the sanctuary, I was there.
Yeah. Okay, you guys ready? Okay. Good morning. Morning, Sharon. Okay, we're going to take a moment to ground ourselves, center ourselves gently, open ourselves, heal ourselves. Kind of like tuning in to a different channel. We're tuning into the channel of innocence right now, whatever that means. Just gently allow your breath to expand, stretch a little bit. Become open, receptive. And know that we will learn whatever it is we need to learn this morning. And it might not be on a conscious level. You might realize you learned something a while ago that you weren't conscious of. And it might be good to recognize the idea, the sense that we are always being taught. We are always learning. We're always stretching, we're always growing. We are always becoming. We talk about becoming the truth that you already are. Never stops. You are ever and always increasing your capacity for unconditional love. Okay, you can stretch and open your eyes if they were closed. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Good to have you here. Good to be here. Good for me to be here. So thank you for being. If you weren't here, I wouldn't be here.
Terry, don't forget to record.
Yeah, we're recording. Thank you. We're going to begin on page 57, where it's the bottom of the page to begin where we ended off last week. To know the body in a higher way, to align the body to a level of truth, which will dispel or reclaim or recognize the lies that it has held, will support each of you at a level of maintenance in the field of the upper room, more so than you have known thus far. I think I shared with you what St. Francis used to call his body, his poor brother ass. Kind of like this bag of stuff that I'm just dragging around with me. Whereas in this particular spiritual path, talks about recognizing the body as a vehicle, as part of the vehicle sphere for navigating on planet Earth. It's what we chose with all of its good parts and all of its limitations. So if something comes up with the body that doesn't seem to be as healthy as we would like it to be, let's not get angry at the body for doing whatever it is we're doing. In some cases, it's just aging. It's just doing the natural thing that it does. Like, I want to know who broke into my kitchen a couple of days ago and raised everything about 6 inches off the floor. Like, you know, I used to be able to, you know, pick up the stuff on the top shelf. Can't do that anymore. I don't need to get any smaller than I already am. There we go. So I could either get mad at my body or buy a footstool. I decided to buy a footstool. See, the other thing is that, well, it shouldn't be this way. I'm sorry about that, but it is. Imagine you have a scratch, an itch on the body, ever present. You enjoy your day, but there's that nagging itch and need to scratch it. A memory in the lower field that would seek to claim you back to it just as such a thing. A memory in the lower field that would seek to claim you back to it is just such a thing. In 12-step literature, it says, you will not regret the past no wish to shut the door on it. In other words, you can continually learn from the past. You don't have to throw it away. But boy, I tell you, there's still some things in my life I'd like to shut the door on. I'm still working on that one. The things that I don't appreciate that I did at one time or another. Like I can dig up a piece of guilt that's 50 years old and it can be just as fresh as it was when it started. I don't do that on purpose, but it's still there. It's reminding me that there is work to be done. Self-forgiveness. If we allow other people to realize that they have done the best they could, I need to be able to do that myself. Not perfect. I probably could have done better when I look at it differently. But when did I, here's a question that has been sort of haunting me for a while. Was there ever a time in my life when I didn't do my best? And I think the answer would be, according to most spiritual passages, is no, you always did your best. You only looked at it when you finished it and said, I could have done that better. I could have done that differently. If I had that information, like a mistake. Mistake is not something wrong. Mistake is a piece of information you didn't have before. If you had it, you wouldn't have done what you did, or you would have done it differently. And I'm not saying that to get us off the hook. I'm just saying that as a piece of wisdom, that's probably the truth. Best I can do anyway. When was the last time you didn't do your best? Or can I accept the fact that I've always done my best, even though it hadn't been perfect? And even though when I, after I've done a particular act or acted on a particular piece of information, that I might be able to do that differently. And that's okay. In fact, A Course in Miracles asks the question continually, how could I do this differently? But that doesn't mean that you erase what you did before. It's like, well, you know, I did the best I could with that. Now I've got some more information. I can do this differently. Thank you. I'm still working. I'll let you know when I'm finished. Give me like that, huh? We're over here.
Jesus had a nice comment about the body. He said, if you see the body as whole and complete, the body will respond.
What was that again, Lo?
Jesus said, if you see your body as whole and complete, the body will respond.
And I truly believe that's the way Jesus worked his miracles of healing.
Right.
I see you. I don't see you as sick. I don't see you as something wrong. I see you in your perfection. And my vision of you in your perception is so powerful that it overcomes whatever negativity you might be holding on to. Now, you can have it back if you want. You can have your disease back if you want it. But I see you as whole. I see you as perfect. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the way that the small self wants it to be. I think I shared this with you before, that towards the end of Margot's life, physical life here on Earth, she said something to the effect of, there's too many things that are wrong with my body right now, and I just need to let go. And I explained to her, or said to her, I wish you would decide to stay, but I understand. This is your trip, not mine. Well, my trip is taking care of myself after you leave. Now, some of you would say to us, I wish to remember everything. You are not forgetting anything. Underline that. You are not forgetting. You are re-seeing and re-knowing. You are wiping away the mirror. You're wiping away the mirror, the residue that accrued over lifetimes of neglect and adherence to a belief that the form you have taken cannot be of God because God is only spirit. Everything is spirit, including the body. It is just operating at a lower level of vibration. That might be a summary of the whole book. Everything is spirit, including the body. It is just operating at a lower level of vibration. And I know the book didn't go into this, but some spiritual metaphysical path will go into the idea that there are different layers, the etheric layer, I'm not going to go into it because I can't remember all of them myself, but a whole different of energetic layers to our body. The physical part of our body is kind of the lower vibration. Not bad, just lower vibration. And there are other levels, etheric body and some other names I could think of if I get them all right now. There's about four or five different layers of energetic pieces that go to our physical body.
Yeah, Jesus said it's particles of light. Millions and millions of particles of light, and he showed that to his disciples.
I'm always called back to that wonderful miracle he worked on Mount Tabor called the Transfiguration.
Right.
You know, where he kind of said, I'm going to show you what you really look like. I'm going to show you who and what you really are. I'm not going to hold on to that form, right? Because that's not my chosen vehicle here on planet Earth. But I just want to show you the truth of who you are, at least for a moment. And you will always remember that. When something is claimed in form, when something is named and claimed, it oscillates in a lower field. That's really interesting. When I claim something and name it, I make it into a bumper sticker, right? Or something else like that. I name it and I claim it. Say, this is what this is. I've kind of limited its growth. It stays in a lower vibration as long as I hold it there. Same is true with my physical body. I can say, this is my physical body. This is poor brother ass that I'm dragging around this lifetime. Or I might be able to say, this is my vehicle. This is my chosen vehicle here on planet Earth. With all its warts and all its seeming imperfections, but its imperfections are part of its perfection. It's what I've chosen to be here. It's how I've chosen to be here. The color I've chosen, the race I've chosen, the country I've chosen.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because what comes to me is that I do that with myself. What I mean by that is that to
Hang on a
myself.
second. I messed you up here, Jim. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I do that to myself and with others. What I mean by that is that I may have seen myself as this or that before, and perhaps maybe attached or identified with that. And I may be still operating in that same old, I'll say, paradigm or that same old consciousness. And I feel I'm growing, or I know I'm growing, but I still see myself that way. And I know I do that to others in terms of, oh yeah, I remember, when they were da 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 da, in their 20s or 30s, they were this way or that way, and they're no longer that this way or that way, but I think it comes from my lower consciousness and unwilling to go ahead and to see them differently. And I'll just tell you, just not just, a small story. So I'm a junior. It's actually James. My dad was senior, but about maybe 35 years ago, I made the decision just to go ahead. Well, that was him, and I'm going to separate myself and call myself Jim. Now I have many folks, not many, a few folks who says, you know what? I don't care what you want to call yourself. I'm still going to call you James.
Changes things, doesn't it? I think I shared with some of you. I'm not sure whether it was this group or not, but my grandson Finn, when he was about he's 17 right now. When he was about 8 or 9, I guess. Instead of calling me Grandpa Jerry, which all the other grandkids call me, he started calling me Jerry. And at first I was a little bit miffed. I was insulted he wasn't paying me the proper respect. But as I sat with it for a while, I realized something that maybe he didn't even do consciously, was that by changing my name, changing what he called me, he changed the whole dynamics of the relationship. I was no longer his grandpa. I was on equal footing. I was a friend. I was a brother. And that really, really struck me about how somehow or another he discerned how to be able to do that, how to be able to form a new relationship here just by changing the name he called me.
What's he call you now?
He calls me Jerry.
Oh. It didn't stop.
Yeah.
My grandson did the same thing. My grandson wanted to say Grandma Sarah and Grandma Jan. From the time he could talk, it was Sarah and Jan.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's his decision. Hi.
Jerry?
Yes.
Oh, one thing that keeps occurring to me during this meeting is I keep remembering the episode Regina Dawn Akers described. I don't remember if it was, I don't think it was in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, but it was in something that she wrote where she had some kind of an experience where she was eating an apple, I think, and the cells of the apple were willingly and joyfully participating, jumping for joy that they could participate in the act of her eating the apple. Mm. And so it's possible, I suppose, that everything that surrounds us and that we experience, the desk I'm sitting at, the books behind me, all these things, that they are willfully, joyfully participating in our journey to awakening.
Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful to be aware of that? I remember Ram Dass talking one time about saying grace. He said, this is God praying to God, God eating God, God digesting God. It's all one. But that's a wonderful story, John. I don't remember, I don't recall that, but I was just thinking as you were describing that situation, excuse me, how wonderful it would be if we could be that aware. Excuse me. And just by telling the story, it made us a little bit more aware. Next time I ate an apple, I'm going to remember that. In some ways, you return to that infant who perceives all things as one without leaving the level of awareness that is required by each of you to maintain a sense of self in an operative way. Very challenging. You look into a little baby's eyes And you see that infinity kind of looking back at you. Now, here's this little being who knows who he is, but he doesn't know that he knows. He just is. And he, like the rest of us, is going to go into somebody training. People are going to start telling him who he is, and he's going to start believing them. And then there's going to come a time for him or her, just like it was for us, where you say, wait a minute, time out. Is all of this stuff that I learned, all of this stuff that I've been taught, is that really who I am? Because it doesn't seem to fit with, seems to fit with what the outside is telling me, but doesn't seem to fit with what the inside is telling me. And so what our path becomes like then is that we set out on a path where we can begin to know that we know. I know who I am. Not just I am that I am. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. So when you finally get to that point where you look into, I remember I saw Ram Dass one time after he had a stroke. And I was very curious about how, what was going to be like, because I had heard him speak any number of other times. And he was so just absolutely eloquent. And I knew that part of his speech centers were really hurt or wounded by a stroke. And I wonder, and when he got up to speak, there were great long silences between sentences and words. And yet he wasn't uncomfortable with that at all. It was just kind of a natural flow. I was more disturbed than he was. But then after the lecture was over, we could get up a chance and give him a hug, and he could give you a hug back. And I looked into his eyes. And it was almost the same kind of eyes as a little baby had. Here is somebody who knows, but I know that I know. I'm still growing. But I know that I know, and I am at peace. I'm at peace with where I am right now in my life. I am at peace with my body. I'm at peace with my God. I am at peace with my soul. And I thought to myself, how are you doing that, man? And if he would have answered me, he probably would have said, practice. Practice, practice. Knowing that you are one with the source does not mean you neglect the body. Ta-da. It's not poor brother ass. Knowing you are one with the source does not mean you may eat off your neighbor's plate without his or her permission. In other words, well, I'm connected to the source, so I can do anything I want to do. That's just a real ego kind of remark. Not true, but it's easy to think that way. I'm better than you. I deserve this. I am entitled to this. Comprehending yourself as one with your neighbor, with the elements, with God itself, will merely claim you beyond the illusion of separation. Claiming yourself beyond the illusion of separation. Probably most of our unhappiness and most of our difficulties in life come, and certainly in terms of our consciousness of ourselves and one another, comes from a sense of separateness. If I no longer experience myself, oh, how did Buddha put it? The golden rule about do unto others. The way he put it was, if I can remember to say this correctly, see yourself in others, who then shall you harm? See yourself in others, who then shall you harm? Comprehending yourself as one with your neighbor, with the elements, with God itself, will merely claim you beyond the illusion of separation. And separation is an illusion that has been made fact by your agreement to it. In other words, you have made it real. And you are continuing to make it real because it's an illusion, but you don't act like it's an illusion. You act like it's real. I am really separate from you somehow or another. And I look at you. That's what was so great about Sunday morning and Tuesday night and Friday night. When I look out at you, I see beyond color. I see beyond brothers and sisters. I see beyond bodies. I see a number of beings who somehow or another paradoxically have an identity of their own. And yet the identity doesn't take precedence over the truth. I love you. I experience you. I hold you. I let you hold me in the light of truth that you are now and always. Separation is an illusion that has been made fact by your agreement to it. That's a powerful statement. An illusion that has been made fact by your agreement to it. Nothing exists in this world without your agreement to it. Understand that once and for all. You did not make the hurricane, but you agreed to it. And to confirm that through your agreement is to claim a level of alignment to it. I don't completely understand that. I get what they're getting at is that whatever you, well, the way I put it before as a metaphysical truth, if I see it out there, it's happening in here. Like war, hatred, violence, that's, if it's happening, if I see it happening out there, then there's something going on inside me that needs to be able to change and heal first before I go about changing and healing what's going on in the world. I don't quite get what it means when it says nothing exists in this world without your agreement to it. Understand that once and for all. You did not make the hurricane, but you agreed to it. And to confirm it through your agreement is to claim a level of alignment to it.
Does that also mean I'm thinking of like people transitioning, going into agreement with the body not functioning? Did I claim that? I claim whatever happens to the body?
I don't get it with the weather, though.
Yeah, well, I don't get that either. I have a sense. See, what they're talking about, though, goes beyond our intellect. I didn't create the hurricane, but I align myself to it. That's
unless they're using the word hurricane in other than a sense of weather.
Well,
metaphysical.
Yeah, let's look at it. I was going to say something there and I forgot what it was. I guess we could go backwards a little bit. I need to go backwards a little bit and say everything is of God. Everything is part of God's creation. Even the illusion is part of God's creation. And do I want to hold on to that, or do I want to be able to change that or let that go? Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
So what were you saying, Laura, about what were you saying about the body language?
Well, you know, when I first heard that line, nothing exists in the world without your agreement to it. Oh, I chose to have this, or I chose to have that. You can find, you know, or I see people around me that next day they wake up and they've got this, so they chose that.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Or, you know, when I hear you say
Yeah.
more about recognizing her body's not working, the body parts, did she choose that?
I believe she chose her way out of here. This is my method of letting go of my body. I chose that. I was talking to a friend of mine about that when the night that she passed, I went in to see her, and I remember holding her hand, and it was ice cold. And I didn't make the connection in my head that her body is shutting down. I just didn't do that. I just held her hand for a while, and then I went to fix some dinner for myself. And I started walking downstairs with my dinner plate, and the nurse who was sitting with Margot said, "She stopped breathing." And then it started making sense. I said, "Oh, her body was shutting down. I wish I would have stayed." But then I sat with that a little bit longer, and I talked to my friend Kathy May, who talks to angels. And she said something to the effect of, she didn't want you to be there. She wanted to do that by herself. And she didn't want you to experience the pain or the hurt of her leaving at that moment. So I still wish I was there, but I understand. We all chose to be here this morning. Interesting. There's no why or wherefore. We chose to be here because we knew that this is a sacred space, that this is a healing space, that this is a space where we can greet one another as souls, as spirits, on a very similar kind of journey. And we can be grateful for that together.
You know, when it says, you know, you did not make the hurricane, but you agreed to it. To me, I almost feel like I didn't make the hurricane, but I stand here with this. It's okay to have this. That's kind of where I go with that.
Like I said, I'm still working on that one. That's kind of like.
Just paint the big picture. I mean, all these little details, like I can't wrap around some of these things that are going on. How did you take the view from way above? We really don't know what the plan
It
is. Yeah.
right. There are so many variables.
Yeah. Did I agree to this? Did I agree to this before I got here? Did I agree to this after I got here? Is this an agreement of something in the future? You know, there's just so much we don't know. That's just me.
I guess they would say, I just had a thought of it. If it shows up, then I agree to it.
And you can agree to something else also.
If it's here, if it showed up, I guess I agree to it. I don't recall agreeing to the hurricane. But there it is. So I must have participated somehow in its creation. Not complete. I'm not all powerful. I'm not, the Wizard of Oz or anything. But so a lot of other beings contributed to that hurricane as well. But I was one of them.
There's been some storms that in the last couple of years where we were told it's coming. We were told it's going to be level whatever, you know, for it. And the community I was in contact with, all pray. Let's all pray and lower the energy in that area. By gosh, it happens. And it might be a hurricane, but it's a much lesser destructive causing storm. We are powerful. We are powerful. I think the more we all realize it, it's like kind of like that hundredth monkey. We're gonna just hopefully one day just flip and go, Yes, this is who we are. Yes, I'm powerful. Yes, and we all are. But it's going to take that maybe the mass consciousness concept. Maybe we're close. We're on the same. We'll get there soon. Hopefully.
Well, I go back to that quote from Peace Pilgrim. When enough people reach a state of inner peace, there will be no more war. I believe that with all my heart. Now that's my job, to create more and more inner peace. So peace is created outside as well. But it starts here. Let it begin with me. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm going to need to leave a little bit early tonight because I got this morning, I got double duty. So we're going to take a moment to start our meditation, okay? Thanks for being here and sharing. You should just get comfortable in your spot. Breathe. Let your breath take you. Relax into the spaciousness of gratitude and peace. It's okay if some things are beyond your understanding. Some of this is like teaching calculus to a 3-year-old. Not quite ready yet. Nothing wrong with us. I'm still learning. I am open to learning. I am open to healing. I am open to being and expressing myself as an expression of divine consciousness. Deep breath. Open your eyes when you're ready. You know, even though I didn't understand everything in today's lesson, I'm at peace. And to me, that's probably more important than anything else. So thank you all for being here. I'll
Thank
see
you,
you
Jerry.
soon. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate all your wisdom.
Appreciate you guys. Have a wonderful.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Jerry.
See you guys.
Thank you, Jerry.